This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Taking out insurance is easy, but understanding the terms and conditions of your cover can be complicated. Let us help you. Tune in to Capricorn FM every second Wednesday at 7 p.m. from September to December 2020 and listen to insurance experts explain the standard clauses of an insurance policy contract, and you could win 250 rands worth of airtime. T's and C's apply. Understanding My Insurance Policy, brought to you by the South African Insurance Association.
It's Progressive Talk on Capricorn FM, and we are speaking progressively. It's 7 o'clock, and so let's go back to that conversation that we generally have been having for a while. We took a short break, but we're back to it. It's our SAIA conversation, and we're having that conversation this evening with Musidi Shumang, who's back with us again this evening. Musidi, good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Good evening, Gamla, and good evening to Capricorn listeners.
Good evening. We took a short break, but and we're back, but all things the same. Then we're still giving away 250 rands at time to two listeners, so that will be 500 at the end of our conversation when they answer our questions right.
Yes.
Okay. So this evening we're talking, we're looking at what are policyholder protection rules. So we're starting there as we're talking short-term insurance policy, holder rights and protection rules. Maybe let's go there. So what are policyholder protection rules?
Basically, policyholder protection rules are rules that are set, they form part of the Short-Term Insurance Act of 1998 under Section 55. So the rules are designed basically to protect policyholders or anybody who transacts on the short-term insurance, want to buy short-term insurance products. They detail how insurance companies treat policyholders, how they design their products, and what are the rights of policyholders. So if you feel that your rights are violated, the best place to look is what does the policyholder say and where can you communicate.
I just picking up that maybe we have a bit of a issue with the line. There's some interference on the line, whether it's network an issue, but we'll observe that as we continue as well.
Okay.
and see if it's fine. It sounds clear now, but when you were talking, it was just a bit of interference. Is it coming all right on your end, though?
I can hear you clearly on my side.
Okay. So, and our listeners, of course, can engage with us on 087-288-9697 and the WhatsApp number 082-654-2446 if you have questions or areas that you'd like us to clear for you as we speak here with Musidi. You're more than welcome to engage with us. So, Musidi, as we're talking about what are policyholder protection rules, I see there are different rules. So, rule number one, you talk about treating customer fairly.
This is one of the key, actually, rules of the policyholder protection rules, which is a framework that is supervised by the Financial Services Conduct Authority that governs how customers should be treated and how the financial services, any financial service provider like insurance company or a broker or any registered financial services provider should conduct themselves when they deal with consumers. From the time they give advice throughout the process of the policy, so the whole life cycle of the policy until you cancel it, it tells how they should conduct themselves. And one of the things, the first thing it mentions, the treating customer fairly, is the insurance companies in all their dealings should act with due skill, care, when they deal with policyholders. Due skill, we're talking about when they deal with you, they should make sure that whoever their representative, let's say he's selling you a product, he can't sell you a product that he himself doesn't understand. So they need to make sure that whoever is offering the service understand it and understand the processes. And obviously take care that whatever product that they're sending you, they help you to understand it. You know, so it's not like they're selling you something that you don't know how you're going to use it. The most important thing is they need to act professionally and honorably. So firstly, it's the issue of how they act in terms of being honest, fair, and showing this respect towards the policyholders. So throughout their interaction, they can never, whether it's during a claim time where they can never display an attitude that is not honorable. And as a policyholder, when you know that this is governed by the treating customer fairly framework, you can tell them to say, you're not treating me fairly or you're not treating me with respect. And you can take it up from there. So,
all right. I'm going to take an ad break and we'll continue from this point that you just wanted to make now. All right. Right. And we're still talking with Mrs. So, Mrs. You were still making a point on the treating customer fairly.
Yeah. And the second part is, you know, when we hear complaints, obviously you heard Ngamla on the calls, people do not understand their policies. They need to, the treating customer fairly says they need to explain the reasons for their engagement and whatever they're engaging with you. So if you do buy something, they need to explain it to you. The issue becomes policyholders need to afford themselves time to listen and ask questions and specifically say, I don't understand what you're talking about, so that the product they buy is what they understand. So the insurer is whoever is a particular service provider is required to do that. They also need to have policies and procedures in place of saying, how are we going to treat a customer claim? So they need to make commitments. And as a customer, you can ask them about their policy or framework to say, when I deal with you, how sure I am that I'm going to be fair? So they can explain what treating customer fairly means to them. So every insurer has to have the TCF procedures.
Yeah. Okay, and after that, what must insurers aim to achieve by implementing the TCF policies and procedures?
The whole idea is they basically seek out every when you read that procedure, let's say you need to feel confident that you're dealing with an insurer that has got the interest of the customer at heart. So they need to include it in their culture. So they normally when the regulator goes to them, you know, they need to demonstrate to the regulator that they are focusing and the treating customer fairly is part of their culture. Where people are trained, even the call center agent needs to know about treating customer fairly, need to know, and they need to be trained to teach train their people to treat their customers fairly. So that's the first thing, that a customer needs to feel confident, and throughout their processes, you need to be sure that I'm dealing with an honorable company. And this can be done through the documents they disclose, how they treat you, what information they're giving you. The second point is when they design a product should be designed to meet specific needs. So they need to be clear in terms of we are designing this vehicle insurance. We know that people do crash, so this is going to meet that need. And when that time comes, we will pay claims for, you know, provided it's a valid claim. So how they design the product shouldn't be products that you can never be able to claim. A policyholder should be given clear information and be forever kept informed throughout the process. So when there are changes or even updates in the market, your insurer can update you. Where they give you advice, let's say somebody says, my advice is take this product, you need it. That advice has to be firstly taking your interest at heart. and it needs to be suitable to your needs. Any advice should be addressing a specific need, and it needs to be explained how that advice will benefit you as a policyholder. The critical one is this one of, they need to demonstrate that they are not putting any unreasonable post-sales steps that will, you know, create barriers when you have to, let's say, submit a claim, they take you from pillar to post, or when you want to cancel, you cannot cancel your policy because they're sending you there and there. So all those post-sales processes need to be very clear that I've bought into this, and if I want to pull out, I can pull out. Or when I claim, I know what process.
All right. Yes. So we're still talking here on Progressive Talk with Mercedes Shumang, and you can engage with us on 0872889697 and 0826542446, and that's our WhatsApp number.
This feature is proudly brought to you by the South African Insurance Association. Understanding your insurance policy.
So we're having the conversation here just 11 minutes after 7 o'clock, Progressive Talk on Capricorn FM. So the other issue, Mercedes, is protection rules include product design. And when developing a product, what must an insurer bear in mind?
As indicated, the first thing is it needs to address the need. So that product needs to demonstrate that I respond on these things. Like, it's a vehicle policy. When you are in an accident, I will pay. So it has to address a specific need. Number two, if it's designed for a certain sector or a group of people, the insurer needs to do a thorough assessment about the characteristics of the product and to say, you know, that target market will easily I can give you an example where you design a product for people who are in an area where technology is not easily accessible, but you design a product and then you say they can submit claims through technology, or, you know, so you know that they will not be in a position to do that. Therefore, if you design a product, your target market should be able to interact with you freely. Yes, if you go the technology route and you're targeting, then target the urban area, people who can interact and have access to technology quite easily. And all your products should ensure that they're designed with the policyholders, you know, interested heart, where they'll be treated fairly in terms of how the wording of the policy should stay.
Okay, so these are some of the issues we're talking about, and you can engage with us on 0872889697. That is the studio line. If you have a question, you want us to clear something for you and want to perhaps check with some of the issues that we're talking about up to so far, the WhatsApp number is 0826542446. It is 13 minutes after 7 o'clock here on Progressive Talk. But then again, Mcidi, what in the rules relates to credit life insurance?
You know, credit life has become, like, during coronavirus, a lot of people started asking about it because it's one of those policies that helps you, let's say you are retrenched or you are injured and things like that. They close off the credit with the debtors. So normally, before, debtors would or creditors would then give you the credit life policy, but the policyholder has got a right of choice. However, if he does change or he wants to switch policy, the aim of the policyholder protection rules is to ensure that whoever gives them a product needs to make sure that that product meets the requirements of the National Credit Act, and that product will cover the debt, and the credit provider is aware of it, so that you didn't buy something that will not assist you. So the insurer needs to ask to say, how much are you owing from the bank, so that we give you the appropriate cover that will, in the event that you are retrenched, close off the debt. So, you know, customers need to give that information. So credit life has become a real issue, but also there is a requirement from the insurer or the broker side to do a bit of assessment to make sure that Credit Plus does work for people, especially in the States. So if it has to be involved, it will pay off the debt.
Well, maybe briefly touch on the cooling off right as detailed in the rules.
Yes, the cooling off right talks about when you do take a policy. You know, some of us take these policies when somebody phones you, do you want to insure your cell phone, you accept it. But then you agree and say, okay, you can debit my account, it goes through. What the rules say is, let's say you've got 14 days from the time you receive the policy contract to read it. And if you want to change your mind, you have the right to say within that 14 days to say, no, I'm no longer interested. Because things do happen. You probably took it, you were excited, you didn't read this policy. You know, you understand it very well. But when you sit at home, when you are calm, you realize that actually this is not what I want. So within 14 days, you can inform them to cancel it, and therefore you can cancel without incurring any penalty. So they will refund you the premiums. If, let's say, they had debited you the next day, you've got 14 days to cancel any short-term premium. And then the act says that when you cancel, they need to make sure that you are refunded within the day. So they can hold on to your premium when you cancel within the
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, and the other issue is the negative option selection. What is the negative option selection of policy terms or conditions referred to in the rules?
Okay. Normally what tends to happen, let's say we give you a policy and they tell you about various terms and conditions. The minute there are two or more terms that you can choose from, the representative of the insurance cannot then say to you, I think you should take this one. It becomes, they need to detail all the options that are available, because you have a right to say, I don't want this option, I want this option. So they're not supposed to push you to any option, especially if it's an option that does not meet your needs. So the only time they would recommend something is if that thing is prescribed by legislation. So they can say, because of legislation, we ask you that you look at this option. Or they can say, if it's addressing a specific need, you've indicated that, you know, you don't have a second car, and if you get involved in an accident, you might struggle having a car. So we would recommend that you take car hire. So it is an option that will address your need. But if it's not an option that is addressing my need, it should not be made to the client where it may, because you might end up choosing something that is negative towards you. So they are encouraged not to present those and highlight them, but they will show everything. They can't choose one of them. They have to show you all the options that that policy is providing.
All right, just 18 minutes after 7 o'clock, this Progressive Talk. This Progressive Talk on Capricorn FM, and we are speaking here with Musidi Shumang just 19 minutes after 7 o'clock. We'll get her back, just lost her temporarily on that line, and we'll get her back. That line also was slightly reacting and having a bit of an interference, and we are clearing that up as well. So we should be having a better line when we get Musidi back on that line and talking to her, of course, about all issues that pertain to insurance policies. And so we're talking about a bit earlier the cooling off rights as detailed in the rules, and we talked about the negative option selection of policy terms or conditions referred to in the rules. Those are some of the issues that we've touched on, and we are going to touch on one other issue in a bit. What are the rules around premium and excess? So we're going to speak to Musidi about that. Of course, we've got Musidi on the line. Musidi, so we've just touched on the issue around the negative option selection, and therefore the other issue is, what are the rules around premiums and excesses?
Okay, what the rules are stipulating is that, I'll start with the excesses. So the excesses, when they are put, they have to be reasonable, and they need to be balanced, the interest of the insurer and the insurance company. So if I'll give an example where additional access is on a vehicle, where the insurer can say, you know, if you have a driver's license that is less than 2 years, I'm going to charge you an extra excess of 2,000. So that insurer needs to have gathered reasonable data of saying, why am I entitled to charge an extra 2,000? In this instance, the insurance will say it has been proven through history that people who have less experience in driving have got more exposure to accident. Therefore, it is a reasonable thing to charge. So I'm not putting in excesses that are just, you know, too much or unreasonable. That's the rule. So when they're asked by the regulator on what excesses they're charging, they will be able to explain. Mm. Or you as a client, if you do ask, they are in a position to explain why we're charging this thing. And then the same applies to how they rate the premium. So if they charge you more premium than, like, giving a pensioner no excess and a lesser premium than a 25-year-old, they have reasons. They need to have reasons of saying a pensioner doesn't drive often. The 25-year-old is always on the road, so the risk exposure is different. So it's not arbitrary charging of premium. It's based on research information that they can prove. And everything that they're charging, including the fees or excesses, must be reflected on your policy schedule. So anything that they're charging, whether it's an extra or as long as it's being charged, it must be shown on the policy schedule.
And which policy provisions or provision is regarded as void?
Yeah, this is very interesting. Basically, when we talk of void, we mean that thing is not legal, not valid, so it cannot be binding to you, so it's illegal. So if you read your policy, or if you find yourself in a situation where any insurer says, or putting a provision that in order for us to pay your claim, you have to undergo a liability test, automatically the law says that provision is not binding, so it cannot be enforced or is illegal. If at any stage you are being induced in whatever nature for you to undergo a lie detector test, that is still not valid. So even the results of that lie detector test cannot be used against you as a claim. So that provision, if it does appear on your contract, you need to know that it's not applicable. The provisions of you can only dispute through arbitration. Mm. It's not valid. You have a right as a policyholder to follow the process of complaining to them or going through the internal process, but you do have the right to use external processes, to go to the ombudsman or even to take legal action. So no insurance contract can force you to only settle your matters or your disputes through arbitration.
Before you go to your next point, I'm just going to take an ad break and we'll complete that one. Right, we're still talking with Musidi there. So we're still on the void point. But you are about to make a point, Musidi?
Yeah, the last point is generally insurers are required to give people a 15-day grace period. So if you are going to pay your premiums by the 1st and then they were due on the 1st, you couldn't pay them, you've got 15 days to pay those premiums. So if a claim happens just after the due date, if there is a provision that says a claim will not be paid during that grace period, that provision is null and void because you do have the grace period. However, insurers can ask you to pay your premium that are due before they can settle the claim. So they won't repudiate your claim because they can't do that, but they will ask you to say, pay off all your claims your premium, so that we can pay your claim.
Mm. All right. And as we continue with the other parts of our conversation, at this point, we'll give you an opportunity. If you want to win airtime worth 250 rands, do call us on 0872889697. We're giving away airtime worth 250 rands, and we've got 500, so two people can get that airtime. That is on 0872889697. Would like to give that airtime to you. But as we continue having this conversation here with Musidi, and the other issue, Musidi, what does the rule state about waiving of right?
No insurer may ask any client, whether it's at a claim stage or whatever, to waive your right. So the rule says no insurer may request or even induce a policy member to waive your right. So they're not permitted to do that. And most importantly, which we advise, is that policyholders should not sign blank or partially completed forms, because insurers use the information on your form as the basis of the contract. So if you leave it partially and somebody else completes it on your behalf, if they make an error, it's going to be taken as what you have completed. So that's the provisions, and it is allowed to say, no, I will not sign something that is partially completed.
Okay. And we know that the rules also refer to grace period. Please explain that.
Yeah, the grace period is it talks to the premium. So if your premiums were due February 1st, you've got up until the 15th to pay them. So if let's say you struggle to pay maybe on the due date, you know that you've got only 15 days to make sure that you've paid them. There are, however, insurers who would say, look, don't pay in, we will double debit you at month end. Now, if that happens, only the insurer has allowed you to do that. But you are protected only for 15 days, nothing more. Unless the insurer says to you, no, I will double debit. So you need to make sure that when they double debit, there is money. Because if they go for the second time and they don't find money, the policy automatically cancels.
Okay. And of course, I suppose for tonight, we'll just leave it here. But for our listeners who may have questions at a later stage and wants to engage, you have details where they can engage and send questions?
Our listeners can send us WhatsApp messages. That is much better, on 061-326-8818. Or preferably, they can send an email to consumereducation@saia, which is saia.co.za, and then somebody will respond to them.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Sidi. Wonderful evening.
Thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners.
Good evening. That is
This feature was proudly brought to you by the South African Insurance Association. Understanding your insurance policy.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.